Hello and welcome to Palliser Stories. My name's Leo Sofa. I'm guessing you're curious to find out a little bit more about me and how it was that I became a storyteller and learnt about intuitive storytelling along the way. Well, it's quite a story, and along the way, I learnt some really important things about storytelling, about telling for children, and about intuition. So I'd like to share a bit with you about all of that. Well, it all started, I would say, when I was 16, and I had this sudden sense of, wow, there's a mystery in life, there's a depth and a beauty in life that I don't actually see reflected in the culture around me. It's like the stories we were telling each other, the stories we were telling children, the stories that were part of the culture that I was growing up in, didn't seem to speak about this depth, this beauty, this mystery. And I was very confused about that. It was like there was this amazing secret at the heart of life, and yet it wasn't being spoken about. I was growing up in the 80s in Margaret Thatcher's Britain. It was kind of grey and gloomy, and certainly the topic of mainstream conversation, what people seemed to be considering most important, was not what I had been discovering as a teenager to be most important, namely this sacred beauty and mystery that seemed to be at the heart of everything and yet hidden. Well, I became a real seeker for this. I became a seeker for this experience, but also for the cultural forms with which we do and have expressed this. And that's how I found my way to Joseph Campbell. Now, Joseph Campbell was an amazing man. He was an American mythologist, and he'd read just about every single story, fable, tale, epic, myth that had ever been committed to paper. He'd read it over an academic career that had lasted decades. And along the way, he'd written these extraordinary books about myth, but about how myth reveals the interior landscape and how it's always done that, and how the stories that our ancestors have told and that ancient people the world over have told have been all about trying to make meaning of life, trying to make meaning of the surface and the depth. This very question that I was wrestling with as a teenager, I found through Campbell's work that we'd always been telling these stories. We'd always been telling stories about the mystery of life and about the inner workings of life. And we'd made up mythical beings and wonderful personages to tell these stories about. But in the modern age, that was less current. It was less part of the conversation that we were having. Well, shortly after Campbell, I was at university. I was studying to be a teacher, primary school teacher. And part of our training was to go into schools and in little groups of three or four to tell a folktale. Well, I absolutely loved this. We went to schools, we were telling these Grimm Brothers fairy tales. And doing this, I kind of had this amazing sense of, oh my gosh, this is my thing. This is what I want to do with my life. And I noticed that my fellow students weren't remotely as committed to the project as I was, and I was kind of frustrated with that. In fact, I was so frustrated, or rather so enthused, that I decided as soon as the college term had ended, I was going to go on the road as a solo storyteller. Now, the schools in the area, Exeter and Devon in the southwest of England, where I was living, they were still in session for another 3 weeks. And so I did this handwritten flyer with a little sort of sketch of myself and sort of handwritten note to all the head teachers in Exeter saying, I'm a storyteller and I'm free. Book me. And 15 of them did. Like, that was about half the schools in Exeter. And I was 21 years old. I was full of fire because I'd found my thing. And I started storytelling. And I had the most fantastic time. I basically told stories. I was writing these stories, but it was kind of like I was kind of regurgitating Joseph Campbell, because I'd read so much Campbell and I'd read so many of the stories that he would cite as part of his books and his research to make the points he was making, that I just could kind of string a few of those together. I can't remember any of them now. I don't have any of them recorded anywhere. But I was having a wonderful time. I carried on studying to be a teacher, but on the side, and increasingly in the middle of my life, I was telling stories. And I worked all over the Southwest. It was fun. I didn't have a car. I relied purely on public transport. And Devon is a very beautiful county. I still miss it, really. And I would find myself on a bus with a guitar on my back, heading off to the next school, dressed in crazy, colourful dungarees. And I'd go to the schools and I'd tell my stories and I'd sing little songs to kind of break things up in the middle. And I had a fantastic time of it. But I was having such a good time that I didn't realise what was happening, which was that I was burning out. I was doing too much of it. I was performing too much. And soon it was less fun. But I still had this sense of passion and purpose about it. Like, this is what I want to do with my life. But it wasn't so much fun anymore. I got actually kind of chronic fatigue. Now, this was a useful turning point. At the time, it was very distressing because I couldn't work. I couldn't tell stories for a whole year. It was like I'd overdone it. I told too many stories. But what happened in that is that I realized that I needed to sort of plug more deeply into my roots. If I was to find a way of getting back to storytelling, I needed more energy. I'd lost all this energy in the way that I'd been telling. I'd been telling in a very histrionic, dramatic way. And perhaps telling without a strong connection to the past. I'd had Campbell, but I was not rooted enough to the material that I was telling. So that's when something really wonderful happened, which is I started researching folk tales. And I read 2,000 folk tales. 2,000 folk tales in about 3 years. I holed up in this little cottage on the edge of Dartmoor, which was is a beautiful, wild part of England in Devon. And I read and I read and I read and I read. I tried reading folk tales from beyond European culture, so Native American or Chinese or whatever. And it was really interesting. It was like those stories somehow didn't land in me. They didn't make sense to my story body, my story mind. And it again and again, I found myself called back to Europe, and I read some Near Eastern stories. They're kind of culturally similar in many ways, and some Jewish stories, which is part of my background. My father was Jewish. But largely, I was focusing my research on the European story, the European folk tale. And after a while, I started going back into schools and telling. And this time, I was telling these delicious European folk tales, the kind of best that I'd found, my favourites of these 2,000. After several years, I had a repertoire of 50 stories, and I could have told them backwards if you'd asked me to. I knew them really, really well. And this is where I came upon another really important discovery of what storytelling is really about.